This is it. This is the Business Greenhouse podcast. If you're a business owner looking to grow a company that thrives, then you're in the right place. I'm Emmy Faust, and you can get more details about this episode and full show notes at my website, emmyfaust.com. Today on the Business Greenhouse, I have one of my good friends, Tiffany Rowlands, who is a health coach, and she has worked with clients and people all around the world, helping them with their health and well-being. She's worked with businesses like Nike and Adidas, and then obviously helped individuals as well. Tiff is a great friend of mine, and I know we both share a love of health and well-being, so I thought it'd be good to get her on the podcast to talk about what we can do to look after the health and well-being of ourselves and also of people that work for us in our business. But first of all, Tiff, say hello and tell us a bit about yourself.
Hello, Ems. Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for having me on. I'm worried that we're going to laugh a bit too much in this, Emmy, which isn't that professional, is it?
But we're allowed to laugh. You can have fun in the business greenhouse.
Okay, that's fine. As Em said, I am a health coach. I've lived all over the world, so I've dealt with clients from all over the world as well. I predominantly do corporate health coaching now, so I go into companies and help look at the health and well-being of staff, and I love it. In a former life, I was a TV reporter, which was quite a stressful job. I loved it, but I moved all over the world and had suffered my own sort of health problems as a result of kind of lack of sleep and stress, and I think that's probably what led me into health and well-being. But I love it, and I'm on flying form now. You'd be pleased to hear I'm feeling very well.
Well, that's great. I remember when you used to do that job as a reporter, and you had to get up in the middle of the night and drive to Birmingham or Manchester or somewhere miles away, and you were not getting any not getting proper sleep and not eating properly, and you're now a different person, are you?
I am a different person. I think that you know we all learn from our own experiences, and I was definitely fueled by caffeine and garage sweets actually at that point in my life. Luckily that's changed now. I'm not sure anyone would employ me.
that's really good. So you've obviously been into businesses like, you know, some really big brand names actually, and I'm sure you've been into smaller businesses as well, so talk to them about why it's so important to look after the health and well-being of their staff. And also, I think, you know, on this podcast we've got a lot of business owners who are running, you know, much smaller businesses, small to medium-sized businesses, and it's also about looking after your own health and well-being. I think that's really important. Why is that key to businesses?
Well, God, you're right, and I can't overstate how important it is. I mean, you know, looking after yourself and your staff is just absolutely critical, because, you know, healthy people are happier and more productive, and they last longer in their careers. And I mean, we all know that if you eat crap, you're going to feel crap, and ultimately you won't perform at your best or produce your best work. You know, as you say, I've been into some big companies, but I've also dealt with much smaller ones, and it doesn't matter how many staff you employ, you know, everyone's health matters. You know, billions of pounds are lost by companies due to employee poor health in the UK and across the world. And, you know, investing in staff health and well-being will ultimately really, really pay off. So, you know, it really is important. I think there were some figures out not that long ago that showed that it was something ridiculous, like each employee in the UK loses 6 working weeks of productive time a year. I mean, that's a staggering figure. And, you know, and that figure is
not actually by being ill, but do you mean just by being not productive?
Not productive, coming in. I think part of the problem is that people feel that they have to come in regardless. They feel this huge pressure, don't they? Even if they're not feeling well, to turn up to the office. And then you just, you know, you might as well be in bed, apart from the fact you're giving your illness to everyone else, which isn't that fun, is it?
No, I always say to my husband, if he's ill, just don't go into work, just stay at home. You're not actually going to do it, you know. But I think people do feel like they're obliged to go in. Yeah, because otherwise people think you're taking the piss.
Or they're being judged, you know, if they're not. And I think, you know, a point that I'll come on to later is sort of about that that sort of culture. So it's creating that culture for your staff where they know they don't have to be at their desk all hours God gave, even if they're feeling dreadful, you know, because ultimately that won't pay off. It just means when they get the flu, they'll be off for 3 weeks instead of a week, you know, and that's the sad fact, really.
Yeah, it is. I think you're right. It is about changing the culture so that people don't feel that they need to go into work when they're actually not going to be productive at all.
And I think from a nutrition aspect as well, it's really important that people start realising that, you know, our food choices affect the functioning of our minds, you know, to the same extent that they affect the health of the rest of our body as well. So if you're not eating well, if you're not fueling your body well, you know, your mind just will not be as sharp. You won't be, you know, as productive. So it's really important that we start thinking about what we're putting in our mouths. And the problem with being at work and often in a sort of highly pressurized environment is that people just don't, you know, they just shovel in whatever's easiest and quickest. And I think that needs to change as well.
And also probably not just shoveling in whatever's easiest and quickest, but inevitably eating what might already be there provided by the business, and also eating at your desk, which is really terrible, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I was going to talk a bit about sort of mindful eating and eating, you know, which is sort of the buzzword at the moment. I'm not being all cool about it, but actually
but you've got to talk about it because it's the buzzword.
So I think, you know, that a lot of people, it's what we were just talking about, think, right, I can't really manage to leave my desk, so I'll just wolf it down, whatever I'm eating, in front of my desk. But I'm in a really stressed state because I've got to get this plan finished before the meeting and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So they're eating in this highly stressed state. And you know what happens to your body when you're in that position is that your digestion just stops. You cannot digest your food. Yeah. So then an hour later, they're like, oh God, I'm really bloated and oh, I feel really uncomfortable. And you know, and people are like, oh, you know, blame it on things like gluten and think it was maybe the wheat in their sandwich. But it's nothing to do with that. It's to do with the fact that they sort of wolf down their food in this really stressed state. And I think, you know, we all need to just try and leave our desks. Yeah. That would be the ultimate goal, to leave your desk for just 20 minutes. Go off, get some fresh air, relax. If you can't do that, then sit at your desk and just take 3 big deep breaths before you eat and think about what you're eating, look at what you're eating, smell what you're eating, you know, really taste what you're eating, and don't rush it. And I promise you, it can really transform the way you feel.
I think something that's interesting though, isn't it, is that if it's the done thing to eat at your desk, then that's kind of what happens. And actually, as a business owner, maybe you should be creating a culture where it's encouraged to actually take a break at lunchtime, you know, that you're not working your staff so hard that they actually can't have a break at lunchtime, and that they're encouraged to get out, to go for a walk, to go to the gym, to, I don't know, go and chat to other people in the office, but not sit at their desk eating.
Totally. And it's so funny you say that, because I was thinking about this earlier before we got chatting, and I was thinking, God, wouldn't it be amazing if you could start this campaign to get employers across the UK enforcing a 20-minute no screen lunch break, where people had to get up and have to leave their desks, even if they like go into a meeting room, but they have to move about, leave their desk just for 20 minutes. I mean, wouldn't that be brilliant?
I think you've found your calling. You can do that. You can start today. That can be your new campaign. But I think that would be brilliant. It would be so good for mental well-being, for emotional well-being, for eating. You know, like totally. I've just done a mindful eating course, and part of it was, you know, when do you actually sit down and actually kind of enjoy your food and take some time out, and you're not on your phone or at your computer? It's very rare, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kind of like wandering around eating. And
it's really rare. And I'm sorry to interrupt you. And I think one thing I was going to say as well is if you're struggling with health issues or perhaps trying to lose some weight, that's the other thing, you know, mindless eating. You don't know how much you've consumed. You're just like troughing away. You know what I mean? And you lose sight of what you're eating. Actually, if you sit down and you take time to enjoy and save your meal, you know, chances are you will actually eat less as well.
And so what do you think business owners can do to help their staff. I mean, you can't kind of like force your staff to eat, you know, you can't totally decide what they're going to eat for their lunch, can they? But what kind of things can we do as business owners to give the people that we work with the kind of the best chance when it comes to their health and wellbeing at work? What are the initiatives that would work?
I don't think it's difficult. I think encourage and allow breaks. So make sure people understand it's okay to get up and go for a lunch break. You know, provide access to healthy snacks. So, I mean, I guess it depends where your office is or if you've got vending machines or, you know, if you have a budget to provide things, but really look at what you're providing for staff. And obviously I can help anyone that needs help with ideas for that kind of thing. You know, encourage people to bring in healthy lunches. So provide storage facilities like fridges and stuff that they can put things in. I mean, you know, if you're a bit bigger, a slightly bigger company, you could run sort of healthy living competitions, you know, upload a picture of your healthy homemade lunch and you could win a cash prize or, you know, just think, start really encouraging people and know, you know, make sure they understand it's you know, this is the sort of environment you want to create for them. And I think recognizing when someone's stressed and needs a bit of time out is also really, really important.
Yeah, I mean, I always kind of thought, oh, if I had my business again, I'd like to do some kind of like mindfulness or something to start the morning. I'm not sure if everyone would
God,
buy into that,
brilliant.
But you know, we've all got to do 5 minutes. But also, I think I'd give all my staff free access to Headspace or something like that. I personally use Headspace and I love it. I know there's lots of different apps and things, and people use different kind of mindfulness and meditation apps, but for me, I find that it really just helps my clarity and my focus.
Yeah, I mean, that would be absolutely brilliant. I wonder how many people would bother, though. That's the only thing, you know, that, you know, yeah. I mean, I love that thought. The other thing I was thinking of is, if you had the budget, would be to provide every company across the UK to provide vitamin D drops for staff in the winter months, because, you know, you can only get vitamin D or adequate amounts from the sun. So in the winter here in the UK, 50% of the population is deficient in vitamin D. It's just virtually impossible to get enough from the food we eat. So we should all be supplementing with vitamin D. And can you imagine if you went to the office and you were like, here's your free vitamin D drop, you know, just be brilliant.
And most people wouldn't have a clue about that or wouldn't have the inclination or the knowledge or potentially the budget to go and buy it. And I think that's the thing. If you can be proactively, I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's, yes, people might not do the Headspace if you give it, or yes, people might not eat the healthy snacks. Yes, they might not take their break. But if as a business you're encouraging people by making it possible, then, you know, you're doing the best that you can.
And yes, absolutely.
What I was interested, you were saying when we first started speaking about eating for energy and about how, because your brain uses up a huge amount of energy, doesn't it?
Yes, a massive
amount. I can't remember what percentage is, but a huge amount. But so, yeah, how does that kind of, what recommendations can you give in terms of like
eating for energy?
Yeah, eating for energy or... Yeah, exactly. How can eating for your brain, and also the other thing I'm interested to ask you, but I'm aware I'm asking you two questions in one go, which is probably terrible interviewing technique, is the gut and the brain are linked, aren't they? So yes, it's all connected.
Well, there's loads of research going on into the gut-brain axis at the moment. So that is the, you know, it's the direct correlation between what you're putting in your mouth and what happens in your head, essentially. You know, and I think there's no doubting that now, you know, that it does have a huge impact. I think some basic and easy things you can do for your gut health and your energy levels is, you know, are simple. You cut out the highly processed, refined foods, you know, that have been shown to damage your gut microbiome and make you feel pretty rubbish, and feed your body with, you know, lots of plants, colourful plants, as many varieties of fruit and veg as you can get in, foods that are rich in fibre. So, fibre is a big one. And, you know, we're all meant to be eating about 30 grams of fibre a day. And I think it's something like 1 in 10 adults manage this. I mean, it's pretty crap, that.
That is bad. But again, you know, I suppose at lunch, you're probably going to get a sandwich or some, I don't know, something like that.
There are other options now. I think, do you know what I say to my clients? And I think this is a really easy win, yeah? When you, well, certainly when you're at home, start off by filling your plate with lots of green leafy veg, yeah, before you put anything else on it. Then put a decent amount of protein, because that's the next thing I was going to get onto. So meat, fish, eggs, legumes, nuts, yeah? And then add a fistful of starch, but make it a whole grain, or, you know, potatoes are really good for you. And I hate the fact that potatoes have been slightly demonized by sort of keto and Atkins diets and stuff. Potatoes are so good for you. They're really fiber rich. And actually, weirdly, if you cook and then cool potatoes, they contain more resistant starch. And resistant starch is really good for your digestion, because it passes through your body and it gets broken down in your large intestine, used, you know, by the good bacteria there. And it's just really important for overall health. So potatoes are a great one. Bananas, apples, you know, if you can try and eat more fiber, that I think is a really easy win.
So that would mean businesses trying to do things like free fruit, always have a big, nice fruit bowl. But also, I suppose, people who working, bringing in food from home, like you say, you know, you're with your proper protein, veggies, potatoes, because it can be quite tricky to get that, I think, when you're out and about.
Yeah, I guess it depends where your office is. I mean, and I know it's an ask getting people to bring stuff into work, but, you know, an easy way to think about it is when you're making dinner, just make double. And if you're like me, you'll eat both that night. But don't be like me. Portion out. Get a Tupperware or whatever, a bamboo pot, and put in, you know, half of your dinner and put it in the fridge for the next day. You know, that's an easy way to do it. Or, I mean, even easier, as you walk to work, go into Tesco's or other supermarkets are available and buy a bag of salad. Buy some cooked chicken breast and, you know, some other tomatoes and veggies and a handful of seeds and make a salad bowl when you get in.
Yeah, exactly. And you can keep your seeds and everything in the office, can't you?
Yes, and that's why it's important that there are fridges in an office as well, I think. Mm. The other thing I just want to mention is protein, because I really feel like a lot of people don't eat enough protein, and it's such an important macronutrient. Protein, you know, it you know, does so many important things in the body, and without protein, you know, your immune system will struggle. You know, you won't have any muscle retention, and again, it's really important for helping you to feel full and for overall energy. So be mindful of having protein with every snack or meal that you have.
And so I'm thinking, like, when you're at work, because it is more difficult when you're at work. I mean, like, sometimes I remember going out and thinking, you kind of, like, so what would that be? Like, nuts, seeds, baby bells?
Yeah, but I think sometimes you have to think of non-snack food as your snack food. So things like cooked salmon, cooked chicken. There's no reason why you can't be snacking on chopped up chicken breasts.
I'm just thinking, if you brought your tuna out into the office at 11 o'clock, I'm not sure you'd have, you know, everyone would be that over the moon, would they?
You know what? My family hate me because I'm constantly eating boiled eggs, and they're like, "Oh no, not in the car, Mum."
So smelly.
You know, ham doesn't smell of anything. Prawns.
Yeah, exactly.
Yogurt, Greek yogurt, pots of farge, Greek yogurt. Are absolutely brilliant. And you can mix in some protein powder, you can mix in some berries, some seeds, you know, there are a lot. I've got heaps of ideas up my sleeve if anyone needs any.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, in the show notes for this podcast, what we'll do is add some links to some of your LinkedIn posts which have got loads and loads of info, haven't they, about healthy snacks and recipes and things like that.
Yeah.
So I suppose, you know, from a business point of view, it's really important to make sure that your staff are kind of best set up to understand this. So is it about businesses investing in getting someone like you to go in and do a workshop? I mean, I'm interested to know the workshops or the programs that you've run with people like Adidas and Nike or some of the other clients. You know, what are the results? What are you doing for them? And what are the results that their team are getting?
Well, the way I like to structure it in an ideal world is that I'll get together with the head of HR or the, you know, owner of the company or whatever, and we'll talk about what sort of thing they're after, because you know, every company is different, and if you've got loads of staff doing night shifts, then my advice would be very different to if you're doing 9 to 5, 9 to 6. So I go and meet them and we talk about, you know, what type of thing they're looking for. Then I would go in and probably give like an hour long short nutrition talk on the topic we've discussed, and then I'll stay and do like 30 minute slots for individuals, because the thing about health problems is a lot of people don't want to talk about them publicly. So being there and being able to just drop in and see me on a private basis often works better for people. And then I would give each of those people a little plan, a few goals to go away and try and achieve, and they'll come back the next month, maybe do another talk, and then re-see those people, see how they've got on. So what then happens is they're becoming accountable to you, but also they're feeling supported. I think the problem with giving one-off talks is that it's a one-off talk, and they might go away that afternoon and go, oh, great, I'm going to go make some chia seed brownies. But, you know, that would be it. They wouldn't remember then. So I think, you know, really great thing about health coaches is being able to continue to see them and the support and the accountability they give you. I think I've gone off topic there, but
No, you haven't. I mean, accountability is great. I suppose I was saying, what do you do? Which, as you're saying, is that you go in and you do the talks, but you also are kind of like an accountability partner to help employees get what they want to out of their health. And I was saying, what kind of results do you see from the clients that, you know, have you had positive feedback from?
Oh, gosh, yes. I mean,
what's the impact? Or is it it's difficult to measure the impact, I suppose, isn't it?
Well, yeah, but I mean, the thing, you know, I always try and give forms so that you know, you can get feedback, and I have had some really great feedback. In fact, I've never had anything negative, although I don't mean to sound like a twat, but, you know, most of the time people have been happy. And actually, you know, funny things have happened. Like, I was out in a restaurant and one of the senior managers was there, and he came up to me, he was like, my God, what have you done? And I was like, what do you mean? And he said, you know, all my staff have stopped just taking selfies at lunchtime. This is in China we lived. And now they're all like comparing recipes and lunchboxes.
That was amazing.
Like, oh my God, that's brilliant. And I was like, really, really? Did that really happen? He was like, yeah, yeah, it really has. So it's really nice when you hear and things like that. And obviously I've had lots of different results with individual clients as well. So I had one of my very first clients, actually, was the most lovely lady who I'm still in touch with now. She came to me very overweight, and there were a few health problems within her family. In fact, her mum and her sister were really sick, and I think she was worried she was going to go the same way because they were all quite overweight and unhealthy. And we worked together for a little while, and, you know, as with a lot of things, it wasn't just about the food she was eating, it transpired. You know, she was in a job she hated. She was really stressed. The office was in a different country, so they were ringing her all times of day and night. She never, ever switched off. And this was having a sort of direct impact on her health and on her weight as well. Anyway, within 8 months, I think, she'd lost 2 stone. But not just that, she'd also quit her job and was moving countries. So
amazing.
I thought that a pretty good result. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Great result for her, but I suppose from the business's point of view, they probably weren't that happy that she left her job.
No, they didn't get me in though.
No, exactly, they didn't get you in. But so is it mainly food that you are focusing on, or is it overall well-being?
It's overall well-being, absolutely, because it's all interconnected. Although, I think food's quite a good starting point, because everyone thinks about food, they talk about food, we all need to eat food. But I think when you're with one-on-one clients, a lot of the time other things come out. That said, if you're feeding your body the right food, you will feel better and it will have a direct impact on the other things as well, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. On your sleep and your energy and your work and your mindset.
Yes. But, you know, food's often just a starting point. But, you know, you need to look at the whys and the hows, and then you can work out everything else. And a lot of the time people, you know what they should be doing, but they just are really struggling to make it happen. And that's where I try and help them. And I think changes don't need to be huge. They don't need to be huge or complicated, but they do need to be sustainable. And that's, you know, that's what I like to do, is help them keep going with their goals.
So if there was one or not one, maybe if there's two or three things that you'd say to a small, you know, a business owner, one of our listeners, what relatively simple, relatively inexpensive things that they could do to really help their staff and do the best for their staff when it comes to health and wellbeing, what would they be?
Okay, well, I think the most important one is to allow and encourage breaks, as we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
Make sure staff know it's okay to leave your desk to have lunch. In fact, actively encourage them to get out of the office if you can. You know, I bet there's very few offices across the country where no one's in the office at lunchtime. You know, it just doesn't happen anymore.
Be great.
I'm not talking long breaks. 15, 20 minutes is fine. Provide access to healthy snacks. You know, if your office is in the middle of nowhere, do you have a budget somewhere for some healthy snacks, some fruit, some, you know, veggies, some hummuses, some, you know, whole grain crackers, whatever it is? It doesn't
That's
need
a
to
small
be
amount of money, isn't it? It's a small amount of money, which I'm sure will pay for itself 100 times over.
Gosh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And generally, just encourage healthy living. Can you start a running club? You know, can you get people, as you said, into meditation? You know, I love the vitamin D idea. If you could provide vitamin D, all you need to do is go to Boots or Superdrug and provide vitamin D for your staff during the winter months. Honestly, I think we'd see a huge difference.
You've got a lot of campaigns that you're going to be starting today, aren't you?
I have. I need to go back on telly, don't I?
Exactly. Well, listen, thank you so much for coming on the Business Greenhouse and sharing all your thoughts with me and with our listeners.
Anytime. It's been lovely to be here.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Business Greenhouse podcast. You can get all the show notes from my website, which is emmyfaust.com. Do please leave me a review on iTunes if you enjoyed it. And I always love to hear from you. So you can tweet me at emmyfaust. And let me know your thoughts on this episode or anything you'd particularly like to hear about in future episodes. Looking forward to catching up again next week.